Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Özil marca, Mesut Özil. Corner, llegó el gol de Olivier Giroud. Marca el Arsenal, marca Olivier Giroud. Gol de los Gunners.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there, welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always with James from Gunner Blog. Goodly afternoon to you.
Goodly afternoon. It so nearly wasn't with me. I've had quite the weekend.
This comes as no surprise to me or anybody who listens to this podcast on a regular basis. James, I'm beginning to think that you're essentially cursed. Where you go, ill fortune follows. What happened this time? Because I saw a picture of you on your Instagram.
Yeah.
Looking extremely happy.
At that stage, was Saturday afternoon, and let me tell you, I was on top of the world in every respect. I was almost literally on top of the world. I was at the top of a mountain, and I felt enormous pride and achievement having climbed this mountain. Very happy, very sunny, but let me tell you, it was in every respect downhill from there.
Right, okay, so you were in Scotland, right?
I was in Scotland. I was on a friend's stag do, and he chose to have it at the... It was like a pub crawl across Scotland, ending at the remotest pub in Scotland. In Britain, I believe.
That seems not necessarily the handiest way of going about
it. No, it's called the Old Forge Pub, and it's in Inverary, in Loch Eber, on the northwest coast of Scotland. And to get there, I had to fly to Glasgow, take like a five-hour coach, and then take a ferry. An hour on a ferry.
Right.
Anyway, I got there. We all got there. And on Saturday, you know, we woke up in this beautiful surroundings, this amazing loch, these mountains stretching up. We climbed this mountain. It was a wonderful occasion.
And there you are on Instagram. I'm on top of Scotland, I think is your caption. And yeah. You look like a man at peace, a man content.
I was truly at peace. Yeah. I found it up there. That's where peace was hiding all this time, on top of a mountain in rural Scotland. And I cannot tell you how dramatically, from that stage on, things took a turn for the worse.
Well, hang on. No, you can, because that's exactly what you're going to have to do here, because we need to know what happens. Can I read out the WhatsApp that you sent me yesterday?
Yes, you can, yes.
So what was this, about 10 to 5 yesterday evening? And tomorrow might have to be a later recording. About to miss a flight home from Scotland, having an absolute nightmare. Then there was a pause. Been on a coach for 9 hours with food poisoning.
All true. So,
what do you know what it was that gave you the food poisoning? Let's start there.
Well, first thing that happened is I got down the mountain and realised two things. Number one, I was incredibly badly sunburned. Like, I don't normally burn that badly for a man with a fair complexion, but I am bright red right now. I am Arsenal red. So that was one thing.
Right.
Second of all, I very quickly realised I'd been bitten about a million times. Have you encountered midges?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this part of Scotland is absolutely infested with them.
But normally midges just kind of fly around and they're in your face and they don't necessarily bite you that much. My experience of midges isn't that they've feasted upon me. Mosquitoes, when I lived in Spain, I must be fucking delicious to mosquitoes, because they would eat bits of me regularly.
Well, I also was led, like you, to believe that midges don't bite. I quickly found this to not be the case.
Right.
Maybe they just like, you know, they like their meat crispy. And with my sunburn all over me, I was too appealing to them. So I was very hot and very itchy and very uncomfortable.
Okay.
Anyway, Saturday night came and went. We went to see a folk band play. Again, it was almost idyllic. I went to bed at a very reasonable hour. You know, I had a few drinks, but nothing too heavy. And then I woke up at 3 a.m., having only been asleep for about an hour or so, with the most violent illness I can possibly describe.
We're talking the D word here, are we?
We're talking every... I mean, I was leaking in every possible direction from everywhere you can.
Right.
I mean, it was mental. Evacuated itself. I will say at one point the next morning, about 10 a.m., we were about to leave the hostel we were staying. And there was some debate over if I was sort of up to the journey. And I said, oh, no, I want to do it. I'm not staying here on my own in the most remote part of Scotland. And then I briefly afterwards collapsed, fully clothed, to my knees, emptying myself out of every direction. It was genuinely the worst I've ever felt. So this was all happening between 3 a.m. and about 11 a.m. I was just being sick. And
what was
and
it? What did you eat?
There was a sort of barbecue the previous night on the beach, and I do wonder if maybe I just got unlucky. But I was sort of the only one, so who knows? Other theories include sunstroke, but I'm not sure if that.
I've had sunstroke. One of the years we went on holidays to Spain. Actually, was there a Euro 2000? There was.
There would have been, yeah.
There was a Euro 2000. And went to the beach one day and, you know, usually very careful about these kind of things. And it was a cloudy day. I think that's what did it. Cloudy day in Spain, just outside Barcelona. And I got sunstroke. I got, like, my head was enormously red. And we were in the hotel room and I was lying there watching Euro 2000 on the little television that was in the room, under the covers of the bed, sweating and absolutely 100% freezing cold. I've never been as cold in my life. I've never sweat as much in my life. And at the time on the holiday, I was reading a book about David Bowie. And at one point I was lying there watching the football and just a procession of David Bowies walked across the room. And wow. I remember saying to Mrs. Black, can you see those? Look at the David Bowies. There's loads of them. They're just walking. I was hallucinating. I was cold. I was shivering. I did not get sick, though. I didn't evacuate my insides from sunstroke.
Well, there you know. Who knows? Maybe it was a combination of factors. I mean, I didn't get to see David Bowie. This is the thing. You don't expect to get sunstroke in Scotland.
No.
Nobody planned for this. I brought raincoats and everything.
Yeah.
We got lucky with the weather, but I got unlucky with my health. So imagine feeling like that and then being told, okay, now you've got to get on a ferry. So I did the ferry, which was, you know, mainly spent, you know, running below decks. Then it was like, well, we've got to do the 5-hour coach journey to Glasgow Airport. We'll definitely get you on your flight. Don't worry. Obviously, 4 hours into that coach journey, there was some sort of accident and a closure of what appears to be the one road out of the Scottish Highlands. So we were told we'd have to take a 150-mile detour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The flight was at this point, you know, almost a no-go. Several of us decided we weren't going to do that 150-mile detour. We were going to try and walk the several miles of road closure to the other side of the road of the accident.
And then what? Get a taxi? Miles.
Yeah, and then try and get a taxi from there. Because no cars could get to us, you see, where
right.
we were. So we did that, got in a taxi to Glasgow Airport. On the way, realised that we'd obviously missed the flight. Tried with very intermittent 3G signal with GPRS and almost no phone signal. Tried to book other flights, realised every other flight was gone. Got to Glasgow Airport, realised we could get a flight home from Edinburgh. So got a cab from Glasgow Airport to Edinburgh Airport. And got a flight home at 9:40 p.m. having set off at 10 a.m. Then we thought we were on the home straight, you know.
Oh my God, what next?
We won. We didn't cash out. We thought we had it. Then it got incredible. We got off the plane at Luton Airport. We booked an Uber cab, and the guy was spent an hour trying to find us. There was like he couldn't make his way around the airport. And then when we got in the car, he literally was driving. We suddenly realised why it's taking so long. He was literally driving whatever the speed limit at 10 miles per hour. This taxi driver. So we were under 50 and he was driving at 10 miles per hour and every car behind was beeping and screaming
what
at us.
What the fuck?
I don't know. He didn't speak very good English, but at one point he turned to us and said, I've been driving 3 days. and he was he was about 60. So I don't know what happened there, really. He said, and then as we approached London, he said, "This is the first time I've been to London." And I was like, "I don't know what's going on." It took us about twice the length of time to get home. It was white knuckle stuff on the motorway, genuinely. We were going down the motorway at like 40 miles an hour, veering across lane to lane. I've never been so scared.
Oh my goodness.
So eventually got home at about 1 or 2 in the morning, and
wow.
Spent today trying to rehydrate effectively.
Right. Well, I just want to put it on the record here right now that if anybody ever offers us like a trip away somewhere, I'm not going. With you. I mean, I'll meet you there, perhaps. So, you know, we could go to the same destination. But there's no way I'm getting on the same flight, the same boat, the same taxi, anything like that. No chance.
I don't know what to say. It is remarkable. I just attract danger and misfortune. I would genuinely say it was one of the worst days of my life. No exaggeration. Like, in terms of the sequence of events, it was truly incredible. Like, I mean, I just thought, oh, it actually gets better.
Oh, hang on.
I got home and there was a letter addressed to me. And it, as you know, it had been my, maybe you don't know, but it had been my birthday last week. So on the 16th.
Right.
So
I was like, maybe belated birthday here. Yeah, belated post. Birthday greetings.
But it was, in fact, a fine for a driving misdemeanor of £130. So this after I had to spend an extra £250 just to get home, £130 on top of that. When I got in. So really, I mean, absolutely extraordinary.
I actually feel a bit scared about doing the rest of this podcast. What the fuck?
I mean, who knows? Anything could happen.
Jesus. Well, that's...
I mean, I'm in good spirits now, but there were times yesterday where...
It was a bit
was
bleak,
dark.
I'd say. Yeah,
it was
bleak.
Dark. It was very dark. I didn't think I was going to make it, to be
honest
with you.
Oh, my God. I mean, difficult enough to deal with all that, but on top of... You know, I suppose there is the upside of that. After a certain amount of time, there's nothing left that you can expel from your body. It's all gone.
That's it. And my body wouldn't let me put anything in it, really. So I was just I was an empty vessel. I mean, that was the incredible thing. I've never felt so weak. I mean, I almost couldn't walk. It was, it was harrowing stuff.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, obviously, I was surrounded by 20 other guys who were all feeling worse for wear. But I found it very, I had no sympathy whatsoever.
Yeah. And of course, they don't give a shit about you at that point, you know.
No, they've all
got their own stuff going on. Oh, he feels bad. Who cares? We all feel
exactly.
bad.
Exactly, we all feel bad. But I mean, I don't think they could quite conceive of the scale of it.
Yeah.
But there you go. I mean, at least I probably didn't put any weight on the stag too.
Well, listen, I, coming back to when to my Spanish adventures, when we first moved over there, we went out one night and we had some tapas somewhere. And I think I must have got a bad prawn. And I remember coming home and I don't quite know why I did this, but I ate a yogurt. And again, much like you, having gone asleep, I woke up at a couple of hours later going, I don't know whether to sit up or sit on the toilet or kneel in front of it or what. But I lost a stone and a bit in 2 days.
Wow.
So, yeah, it can be unpleasant, that situation.
It's, I mean, you know, it's a controversial diet. It's one with risks attached, but
yeah,
every cloud, I guess.
Well, this is it. People pay like big money to Weight Watchers to lose that amount of weight.
That's it.
People are always
going through all sorts of, you know, bizarre treatments to evacuate themselves, and I got all that for free.
And they say there are no quick fixes. Nonsense.
Well, exactly.
They're not very pleasant. They're not very pleasant, but they exist.
All you have to do is go to the north of Scotland and
climb a mountain.
I mean, the problem is now I got all these bites, and at the time I didn't really notice them, but it's actually today that they're really coming to the fore. I'm the itchiest man. Add in sunburn as well.
Right.
It's an uncomfortable existence right now. Well, but I made it. I'm doing a podcast.
You're here.
I mean, and people thought there wouldn't be much to talk about in this show.
Well, I'm glad you're here and in one piece, albeit very many itchy pieces.
Thank you.
Jesus.
And thanks for my birthday present. What have you got me? I haven't received it yet, but I imagine it's...
I did get a really old mobile phone you could have that nobody would bother stealing. It's one of those brick ones,
that's
you know.
Good.
You've got to carry it in a suitcase. kind of thing.
Is it one of, yeah, one of those massive brick-sized ones?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's got its own charger that you can carry around and plug into. I think you've got to plug it into Sellafield, basically. It's the only way that you can charge it up into a nuclear reactor. But it should be safe.
Well, it should be, but it is me. I mean, I wouldn't take anything for granted.
Well, there you go. Well, a belated birthday greeting. How old are we allowed? No, I mean, I know you're not so... 30. 30. Is that all?
That's all. Like, to me, it feels old, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all a question of perspective, isn't it?
It certainly is. To me, that's not very old at all.
No.
Well...
I feel like 31 will seem a lot older than 30. I always basically measure myself in... I'm still at an age where I sort of measure myself in footballer years. You know what I mean? It's like... I'm probably looking at my last big contract soon.
Yeah, pretty sure. Pretty sure. I have to look at my footballing age now in terms of Stanley Matthews.
Yeah,
he played till he was 50 something, didn't he? So, yeah.
The big question is, if someone offers me, you know, 3 years on more money, but I got offered 4 years on less, would I take 4 years because there's greater stability attached? Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Nicely done. Nicely done. Nice segue into the whole Jamie Vardy thing. Did you see the interview with Arsene Wenger?
I managed to see that while I was away. I saw bits and pieces.
Did you see the bit where she's asking about Jamie Vardy? He doesn't quite understand because of her accent exactly what she's saying. And then he goes, oh no, Jamie Vardy. Oh, well, from what I hear, he's going to stay at Leicester. And the lady interviewing him goes, oh, no. And he goes, yes.
It was a bit of burn there, wasn't there, from Arsene, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was great. I loved the little weird background music of the interview as well.
Strange clip. Like, when I saw it come out, I was like, is this real? Is this part of my sunstroke fever dream?
Am I hallucinating this? Yeah.
I mean, should we talk about that? I feel like we should.
We should.
Do you take it at face value? It's always difficult with Arsene, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there's always part of you that goes, oh, we could be playing the old Arsene Wenger game here. But I don't know if he plays that game as often as people think he does. I think most of the time he actually just tells the truth. And then sometimes he might say something and then there's the old double bluff or somebody, you know, something happens like the old, I've never even heard of Santi Cazorla. And then 2 seconds later, we sign him. Whatever happened there. But for the most part, I think he's on the level. And I suspect that that's the case with this.
I think Sky Sports put out a story today saying something like, oh, he's still deciding. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone's going to hedge their bets with that story. But I think... Yeah, I mean, it did seem as if he... I mean, David Ornstein of the BBC effectively confirmed the story, didn't he? Saying that Vardy... Essentially, it sounds as if he sort of hasn't got back.
Yeah, it's maybe that's all Arsene Wenger knows, what's happened in the press, the 80% likely to stay at Leicester thing. And even Ornstein's tweet was he's leaning towards staying at Leicester. So there's nothing like definitive 100% he's definitely staying at Leicester. Although the Leicester owner did say... I think he's probably going to stay. You'll see the news, you know, very shortly, is what he said. So maybe they've had an indication from Vardy that he wants to stay. I mean, if he does stay at Leicester, how do you view it? Is it a snub to Arsenal? Is it a slight on Arsenal? Does it show that Arsenal's reputation is not what it was? Arsene Wenger's reputation not what it was? Our ability to attract players? How would you view it?
I mean, I hate to answer your question with a question, but I don't hate it enough to not do it.
Right.
one thing I've been pondering this weekend is, had it not been Arsenal, had it been another of England's big clubs, say a Manchester United or a Manchester City or a Chelsea, do you think that Vardy's answer might be any different?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this is more about... Leicester being able to compete with Arsenal financially than anything else. And maybe he just really likes it at Leicester. Maybe he loves it there.
I mean, one thing I would say is that if you look at the culture of Arsenal, he doesn't seem an obvious fit.
No.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable. You know, because who's going to be his drinky?
Well, I mean, maybe Jack, but aside from that,
yeah,
I do wonder. Leicester are bound together by this great sense of friendship, as well as, you know, being a good team.
Okay, and, but what happens if, you know, if he stays, if Vardy stays, and then Mahrez goes, well, fuck it, I'm off, and Kante goes, listen, I'm not fucking hanging around here. I've been a star. I've been a star of the European Championships. I'm off too. Do you think maybe he's that's a consideration for him as well?
Maybe. I mean, he might think, yeah, but I've guaranteed myself $100,000 a week for 4 years and I'm somewhere that I'm like and I'm happy. And even if the team drops away, I feel like I'm somewhere where I'm comfortable and I enjoy my football and I know I'll be first choice. I do find it slightly bewildering. I would have thought that he would see that he's achieved pretty much everything that he can at Leicester. Like, I'm not sure it'll get high. I'm not sure their trajectory will go higher than this point.
Higher than top.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I don't necessarily think they're going to go on and win it again or win the Champions League. Do you know what I mean? Anything like that. So yeah. I kind of feel like he's made himself a hero there. And I would have thought that a player who started so low down the pyramid would be won over by the idea of representing one of Europe's biggest clubs.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say that objectively. I'm trying to say that, you know, not as an Arsenal fan. If it was another club, you know, even a United who aren't in the Champions League who came in for him, I would be really surprised if he didn't go. I do wonder if it would be slightly different. Maybe there's a North-South divide to an extent. I mean, Vardy, someone was showing me a few tweets of his about, you know, about the South, and I'm not sure how enamoured with it he is.
Well, what about it? Doesn't he? What did he say about the South?
I can't remember. It was something about soft Southerners or something like that. I wonder if Leicester is, I don't know, if he's somehow, he feels like he's at home there. I find it baffling. And if I'm honest, there's still 20% of me that thinks that he will, in the end, give his answer as a yes to Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule it out completely.
The problem with Vardy surely Arsenal will need to move on.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think maybe there's a little bit of pressure being put on him with the David Ornstein tweet. Do you think that's possible that Arsenal are pursuing other options now? And that's in the public domain. So maybe this is a way of saying, look, it's still there, but you've got to make your mind up quick, fast, matey.
I mean, yeah, but the issue is that he said he doesn't want to think about it till.
That's nonsense, though. Of course he's thinking about it. And of course he's going to wonder about it and deliberate and all those kind of things. It's not as if he goes into the European Championships and just goes, and, you know, doesn't think about anything else. Of course he's going to be thinking about it the whole time. It's making it a public issue so that people will say, well, look at him, isn't he great? He's only thinking about England because he hasn't said anything public about joining Arsenal or leaving Leicester. But, I mean, we know that he's obviously going to be thinking about it and it's going to be a decision that plays on his mind. I mean, in reality, if you were to say, if you truly, truly wanted to focus on England 100%, you'd have made your mind up before you went to the European Championships, one way or the other. Right. So I don't think anybody buys that nonsense that he's not thinking about it, or, you know, whether he lets it distract him or not is another thing. I don't think it's a distraction anyway. As soon as you go out on the pitch as a player, you're not worried about, you know, where you might end up or what your move might be. But, you know, I've completely lost track of what we were talking about here.
I mean, but basically
yeah, I think he could still join. But I think as well, Arsenal would be mindful, or would be minded, I should say, to prepare for a no.
Yeah, I think they have to. But I mean, if the player wanted to join, would he run the risk of letting the club secure somebody else? You know what I mean?
If he really wanted to join, would he not have said by now, perhaps there's some shenanigans in the background that we don't know about? I mean, Arsene Wenger didn't seem particularly bothered, did he, in that interview about whether Vardy was staying at Leicester or whether he was coming to Arsenal? It wasn't like he was, this is terrible.
Well, Arsene Wenger's always, you know, he always rolls out that quote of you need the agreement of three parties for a transfer.
Yeah.
You need the buying club, the selling club, and the player itself. And it seems here it's the player that's the problem.
Yeah.
It is an odd one, and it's one that surprises me. I really thought that he would jump at the chance, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. But hey, what are you going to do? What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
The panic begins in earnest. I think that maybe Arsene thinks he can afford to wait, because maybe he thinks, probably correctly, that there isn't that much business happening during the bodies of the Euros, you know, as in the main group stage. Like, there's no other deals really. Maybe I'm wrong about this because I have been away, but it feels like there aren't many other big deals going through right now.
No.
I'm sure there are things happening in the background.
Yeah. I'm sure there are lots of things, but yeah, no, it's quiet. It's quiet, but then...
I mean, I was on this stag do with a football agent, funnily enough. Dun, dun, dun.
I wonder who that could be.
It wasn't the one you might be thinking of. Different.
Oh, right, okay.
And,
wow, you're chatting. Fucking super connected.
I am so ITK right now. And we were chatting about it, and he was saying, yeah, during the Euros, everyone's sort of not really doing anything. You know, it's all pretty quiet, especially at Premier League level. So maybe Arsenal just thinks, well, I'll wait and see. But what if your second choice... Let's say it's Alvaro Morata.
Right.
For the sake of argument. What if you're waiting for Jamie Vardy's answer and then you hear another club, say Manchester United, are in for Morata? Do you have to drop the Vardy thing and just pursue that because you don't want to lose your second choice as well?
I don't know.
Tricky.
It is a bit tricky. It is, but I guess it's all part of the machinations of transfers that, you know, look, there are a limited number of striking prospects that would fit Arsenal or that Arsene Wenger might be interested in. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of names, but I'm not sure he's interested in all of those names. So I guess going in early on Vardy was a sign that, okay, this is the guy I really want. He's the guy. We're going to get him. And then if that doesn't work, what do we do? I wonder if, I said this in the blog this morning. I do wonder if they even thought about the possibility of Vardy saying no. And you think about it, traditionally, it's like you go for a Leicester striker. He's going to go, yep, I'm out of here. Thanks, Leicester. See you later. Cheers. Good luck. I'm going to join Arsenal. Like, there's no question about it. This is what Thierry Henry was saying last week. But now, I just wonder
if they triggered the release clause, they have to know about the release. I mean, maybe they didn't. Maybe they triggered it by accident. But normally you would know about the release clause because the agent of the player would tell you about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he would only do that if he thought his client would be happy with it.
Yeah. Yes.
So it is really weird.
It is a bit weird as well. And I think when the story broke the other week on the Friday night, the journalist that broke the story has a good connection to Jamie Vardy, I believe. So yes. From that point of view, you wonder why there's the delay now. So I don't know. It's why I don't rule it out completely at this point. And maybe there's just a bit of, background stuff going on. So, we'll have to...
Do you think... I know some fans from my Twitter replies and stuff would say, well, seeing as he's dawdled, seeing as he's unsure, Arsenal should close the door and just move on. Do you subscribe to that?
Without knowing the full details of it, though, without knowing why there's this delay, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, of course you get worried, don't you, that, if we dawdle and if we delay, then we might miss out on somebody else. So I understand that point of view, but... I guess. I don't know. I don't know, genuinely. I mean, I think if we get to the end of the Euros and there's still a delay, or when England eventually go out or go on to win the thing.
So 10th of July, I mean, that won't... Sorry, that just made me chuckle. So, yeah,
I know, I was waiting for that. I left the gap there for your chuckle. That's okay.
Yeah, I took it seriously and then I had a moment of just realisation. Well, I mean, the Euros ends 10th of July, so that's 3 weeks' time. That's the very latest that we should know what's going on.
So if England, let's say England did go all the way and win it and Jamie Vardy scores the winner in the European Championship final, how many days of being on the piss do we grant them before he makes a decision? You know, pre-season starts on the whatever-th of July, the 7th or the 4th or something like that. And then, of course, there's stuff going on. There's preseason games, there's a tour to America, there's preseason fixtures in Scandinavia. There's a lot going on. So it starts to get busy again. And, we come back to this whole thing of wanting your squad as settled as possible before the start of the season. So I don't know. I don't know. We'll see.
We will see. There's nothing we can do but wait. But one hopes that there are contingencies.
All right. So did you see much of the football while you were away on the Stag
highlights
weekend?
And here and there.
Over the weekend?
I saw Ronaldo miss a penalty. That was worth seeing.
Yeah. I mean, a lot's happened, hasn't it, in the last week since we last spoke in terms of the European Championship. What have you made of it in general? I mean, there's been a lot of late goals and late
an
goals.
An awful lot of late goals. I don't bother watching the games until the last 10 minutes, really.
The late goals tend to make things seem more exciting than they actually are, I think. You know, all of a sudden it's a late goal. You're going, oh my goodness, isn't that like, oh, the timeliness of it, blah, blah, blah. But I think in general, it's been quite poor as a tournament.
Yeah.
Am I alone in thinking that? The quality of the games hasn't been brilliant.
Right. I don't think the quality of the football's been great, and I don't.
Has there been a brilliant game? Like an absolutely brilliant game?
No, I don't think so. Oh. Maybe I'm being remiss and I'm forgetting things, in which case I apologise to Euro 2016. But I can't recall one. I'm just literally scrolling through now.
Mm.
I mean, there have been entertaining games, diverting games.
Yeah, but no brilliant game. There hasn't been an absolutely amazing, fantastic game that everyone's gone, whoa, the quality of that. I mean, the biggest win was Spain beating Turkey 3-0. And even that was just your typical relentless Spain passing Turkey into submission. England versus Wales wasn't bad, but I guess part of that is due to the familiarity we have with all those players. Actually, do you know what really struck me in that game? I've never really noticed it before, because obviously I don't watch Swansea a huge amount, but Ashley Williams, I've never seen a footballer kick a ball as far so many times in one game. Like, you could almost see there were times where the ball was coming towards him and there must have been a shout of like, time, time, you've got time. And he would either head it miles back or just fucking boot it as far as he could down the other end of the pitch. Or he'd be in possession.
Say,
I mean, oh my God. I remember people talking about
it. It wasn't a
high
quality game, was it? I mean, he's got a reputation as quite a cultured centre-half, actually.
What?
But clearly not in a Wales shirt. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Wales were very, especially having gone ahead, they were very conservative in the way they played.
Yeah. Joe Hart, what? Jesus.
Oh, that wasn't pretty at all. Wasn't pretty at all as an Englishman. I mean, Republic of Ireland aren't doing too great, are they?
No, that was really poor against Belgium.
Tough group.
Tough group, to be fair. And to be fair, they were good in the first game, but very poor against Belgium. I mean, there was the whole penalty incident with Shane Long, and before I even do that, one of our regular listeners, Svenzo777, wants to complain about Shane Long's bad tackle on Carrasco, which is fair enough. It was a bad tackle towards the end of the half, but Shane Long took quite a pounding, I think, from the Belgian defenders. And then there was the moment in the second half where Vermaelen and Alderweireld just kung fu kicked him. Alderweireld kicked him in the head. It was boot. It was ridiculous. That's a good shout for a penalty and a red card. We've seen red cards given for that kind of thing. And that probably would have changed the game a little bit, you have to say, a penalty. So if Belgium were penalised for that, and then obviously within like 10 seconds of them not getting the penalty, Belgium went up the other end and scored. But I mean, on the day, Belgium were far, far better than Ireland were, because they managed, I don't know how they managed to do this, it must be practice or something, but they passed the ball to one another.
Yeah, to the guys in the same shirts they were wearing. Gave them the ball.
Tantamount to cheating.
I for one was struck by that. I couldn't believe it. When they had it, they'd, instead of just kicking it off the pitch or to one of the Ireland players, they would give it, they'd use their feet and pass it directly to another Belgian player.
What were they thinking?
I don't know. Martin O'Neill's head exploded on the touchline. He couldn't even comprehend it. What about, so a couple of young strikers, well, we might as well talk about strikers, because let's face it, strikers are the most exciting.
They are.
And we have been linked with a couple who scored a brace each in the past week, Morata and Lukaku. Did you see those guys?
I did.
Thoughts, any?
Yeah, Lukaku's two goals were good. Good finish for his first one, actually. The second one
caught
was
very high, weren't they, Ireland, on that third one? Unbelievable.
Oh, I mean, what was Kieran Clarke doing there? I mean,
when I saw that goal, I only saw it in highlight form, and I thought it must have been like the 94th minute or something because they were caught so high.
Yeah.
But no, Arsenal-esque almost.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't let the man pass you there. You just can't let the man pass you. You got to like stop him. Take the ball or the man or both. One or the other.
Yeah,
But yeah, so that the second one was a tap-in. I really liked Morata's header.
Yeah, very good header.
Yeah, I can't remember the second goal.
It was a tap-in after a very neat passing move. Do you remember they literally just squared it to
Yeah. So, yeah, two goals each. Two players probably on the radar of Arsene Wenger to a certain extent. But, again, you're looking at the money that they call. I don't know whether we've learned anything.
It's quite weird, isn't it, that conceivably the kind of players lower down the pecking order in terms of Arsene Wenger's preferred options may end up being significantly more expensive.
Well, because of their age, I guess.
Yeah.
You know? They've got a few more years in them than Jamie Vardy does, so that's probably me. Yes. What else has happened?
Have you seen a team that you think they're the ones?
I mean, nobody's been brilliant. I don't think there's been any really outstanding. Spain, obviously, because they're just so technically accomplished. France, not so much. I mean, they've been okay.
No, yeah, but traditionally tournament winners don't start great. I think I think it's momentum can be a big thing, especially for a home nation.
Yeah,
well, Italy surprisingly good, I think.
Yeah,
or unsurprisingly good.
Maybe unsurprisingly, given it's an international tournament. Mm. I mean, defensively they're very Italian, which is good, and they don't have a huge amount up front, but they've got some goals. Germany, can't say a lot about Germany that we don't already know, so we'll have to wait and see. But it's one of those, because it's a big tournament, because there's so many teams in it, we've got this quarterfinals, and then have we got like a round of 16? Is that the way it's going?
Yeah, round of 16.
I mean, that's bullshit, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We'll have to see. England, of course, in action tomorrow. And Wales.
Today.
Is it today? Is it tonight?
England-Slovakia, yeah.
Oh, it is tonight. Okay.
It is tonight. Jack Wilshere set to start.
Right.
A heavily changed team, apparently. Jamie Vardy also going to play.
Okay.
So, six changes for England.
Right. That'll be...
Because I guess they're,
exciting.
Actually feel that they're...
Yeah.
They'll be through, but they need to win the group, really.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Is there anything else that's caught my eye? Did you see Jens Lehmann?
I didn't see that, no.
Okay, Jens Lehmann posted a video from Paris. I'm going to play it here. Okay. Imagine, if you can, Jens Lehmann smiling in the smiliest way possible. Okay. Imagine how kind of disconcerting it is. Because we know Jens is just a little bit of a character. Maybe a little bit, would people say mad? I don't know, mad Jens, yeah. They did call him that. But he's standing with the Eiffel Tower in the background. The Eiffel Tower is all lit up in the background. There's obviously a fan zone or something like that. Lots of fans milling around. So Jens is giving it the full, like, sharky smile into the camera. And this is what he says.
This is amazing, Paris. I'm standing here in front of the Eiffel Tower. What a magic.
What a magic. That's been one of my favorite.
What a magic.
What a magic. It's been one of my favorite bits from the European Championship so far.
Have you enjoyed the punditry? What did you make of Neil Lennon's comments about Granit Xhaka?
What did he say? That he reminds him of Charlie Adam.
He said, I haven't been impressed. He reminds me of Charlie Adam.
Right. Well, I guess that says a lot more about Neil Lennon than it does Granit Xhaka, or indeed Charlie Adam.
Did you see our man Granit playing against France?
I did. I watched bits of that, and I watched him in the previous game against, who was it?
Oh, Romania?
Yeah.
Romania.
Yeah. And I was impressed. I thought he's been one of the best players of the tournament, one of the best midfielders of the tournament, certainly.
He's certainly been completing a lot of passes. There are a lot of those tweets going around with big stats in them.
Yeah, Granit Xhaka completed passes 3,007.
4,006,000.
Yeah. So he's been good. But apart from that, you know, the Arsenal interest has been quite minimal. Olivier Giroud had one of those nights for France.
Seen those before.
Yeah, seen those a few times before.
Thomas Rosicki's hamstring exploded.
Oh, poor Thomas. I saw
that
it happening.
Sad.
At the time, I saw it going, oh, no, that's it. That's his international career done and dusted. But he stayed on the pitch and hobbled around. And the Czechs got a late equaliser in that game.
Kind of weirdly reminiscent of how his Arsenal career ended in some ways, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of anyone else. Hector Bellerin apparently is due to play for Spain in their final group game.
Oh, that would be good.
As they change the team around.
Yeah. Because they've obviously topped the group, yeah.
And what about to move aside from the Euros, what about the Copa America? You've been keeping an eye on David Ospina's heroics for Colombia?
Yep, penalty saving. So it's going to be Colombia versus Chile in the semi-final. So that's Alexis versus Ospina. That could be quite good.
Could be tasty.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other Arsenal news. I mean, obviously, young goalkeeper Ryan Huddah has left the Emirates Stadium and joined National League side Eastleigh on a season-long loan.
That's the move that caught everybody's imagination last week.
I didn't bring it up because I assumed everyone else has talked about that already.
Yeah, yeah. Did you see the Swiss shirts last night getting ripped all over the place?
Not the sturdiest, were they?
No, they weren't. I like Shaqiri's comment. You know, a little fat guy that plays for Stoke.
I'm aware of him.
Yeah, he says, I hope Puma don't make condoms.
Did he actually say that?
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. But funny enough, didn't we talk about this on the show and say it was potentially a good idea because you'd win lots of free kicks because it'd be obvious your shirt was being pulled?
I think we did say that because a number of people were tweeting it at me going, remember that time you were talking about this on the podcast? And I was sitting there going, no.
No.
I don't.
We talk about a lot of shit, but we must have said that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that's what it is, but I think probably they might want to make sturdier garments than that. And the ball burst. When's the last time you saw a ball burst?
Not for some time, not since I was a kid.
Yeah.
By the way, aside from the Ryan Huddah story, there is another story about a goalkeeper on loan, which is that in the last couple of days we've seen some reports that Wojciech Szczęsny is going to be heading back to London.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I like Szczęsny.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a Szczęsny check or a Czech Szczęsny 1-2 for Arsenal next season. I think that'd be as good as anybody's got in Europe, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, if he's up for it, I'd love to see it.
That is the question. Will he be up for it though?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, there we go. Have we done part one? I feel like we've been going for a while.
We have, all right. We have.
There was a lot of stuff about me being sick, so that ate up a chunk of the time.
Yeah, we had to add in some extra stuff here. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that we've missed? I don't think there is, so we should probably, let me just double check here. Anything? Okay. No. Draxler. Arsene Wenger talking about Draxler, and Draxler wants to leave Wolfsburg. Maybe we could talk about that in the questions. Maybe I'll have a question.
I think I've got a question about that.
All right, okay,
so
we'll do that. The fixtures.
The fixtures. Hard, aren't they? Every year.
Yeah.
20 times away from home. 19 times, sorry.
Yeah.
That sounds a bit tricky.
First game of the season against Liverpool at home.
Liverpool and then Leicester. Jamie Vardy's hat-trick for Leicester.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely inevitable.
Look, you have to play the teams at some point, so, you know.
I mean, one thing that did strike me is that our final few games are pretty dicey.
Are they? I think there's Manchester United late.
Let me see if I can find it. Hang on. I remember thinking, oh, no. We'll have to have won the league in March or something.
Yeah.
So it goes.
Oh, yeah, I see the final.
Final four games. Away to Tottenham. At home to Man United, away to Stoke, and then at home to Everton.
Away to Stoke.
Final two away games, Spurs and Stoke.
Yeah.
Poor travelling fans. They're not going to be finishing this season on a high, are they, having to go to those places?
Yeah.
What's around Christmas?
Everton at home, though, that could be, you know, that seems nice to me. We've
Everton
done that before.
Might be good next season, though. They've got a new manager, new money.
Who's the new manager?
Ronald Koeman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Koeman.
I'm sure he will safely ensconce them in mid-table like he does with every team he manages.
Probably, but you never know. We'll see. You've got to play all the games, haven't you, at some point?
Yeah, for sure. Fuck it. Just get on with it. No point complaining.
But it is interesting how it, you know, it's that word narrative, isn't it? The order of the fixtures sort of informs the narrative. I mean, if we get off to a bad start with Liverpool and Leicester in the first two games, you know, the Leicester match is 10 days before the closure of the transfer window. There'll be absolute riots if we haven't done significant business and we start badly.
Let's not think about that now.
Okay.
Go put some calamine lotion on your itchy bits and we'll come back with part two in a second.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with, thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arseblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arseblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arseblog. Welcome back to the Arsecast Extra. This is part two where we answer the questions that you send to us on Twitter at GunnarBlog and at ArsBlog, and also on Facebook. If you check out facebook.com/TheArsBlog, there's a thread on there about questions and stuff like that. So given, James, that you're suffering, you have suffered this weekend, I will give you the honor of going first with the question.
By the way, can I just check? Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What is that?
I can't scratch myself during the podcast. Okay, so just thought I'd check. This question, then, we'd mentioned it just before.
Which bit were you scratching there?
No comment. So this bit, we mentioned this before. This question comes from Tammy A, who's at Uncastet on Twitter, and they ask, thoughts on the Draxler link. Is a winger useless if we're still stuck with Giroud as our first choice striker?
Well, no, I don't think a winger is useless if a winger is good and can also score goals from out wide. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting. Arsene Wenger mentioned him in that Chinese interview. He mentioned Draxler as somebody who he was interested in watching. And the stories from Germany today are that Draxler wants to leave Wolfsburg. He's not happy there and he would like to leave. Now, if you remember a couple of Januaries ago, January 2014, all the papers were talking about how Arsenal were going to buy Julian Draxler. There was talk about 30 million or whatever amount of buyout it was. Do you remember? And people were going, yep. Well, you can't spend that much money on a 20-year-old. That's ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And so we didn't. But I think our interest in him is very real, or Arsene Wenger's interest in his talent is very real. I wonder if he became available, whether or not he'd be interested in. I presume he would be interested in him. Wolfsburg paid, I think, £25 million for him, or €25 million for him last year.
Right.
So that was last August, and they signed him on a 5-year deal. So they've got a pretty strong hand there when it comes to to any potential sale. He's one of those players, I think, that if Arsene Wenger has spotted something in him, then you'd kind of like to see it happen, to see what he might be able to do with him. You know, his career hasn't quite gone as well as he might like, and Arsene Wenger does have a bit of reputation or a bit of history in turning things around for players who found themselves in those kind of situations. But whether there's any genuine interest or not, I don't know. I think we're putting two and two together and coming up with four or five or eight or whatever it might be. I don't know even what that means. But it just seems like if he's back on the market, or if he is on the market or available, I would be surprised if we weren't interested in him.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, but I mean, as for whether it's Giroud or anybody else, I think you buy a player on his own merits, not necessarily because of who you have up front.
Also, you've thought for some time, haven't you, that we might well buy a striker and a kind of wide forward this summer.
Yeah, yeah. And I do know, I mean, there was interest in Mkhitaryan, which I believe I'd gone places and then seems not to have for one reason or another. So maybe interest in him was dropped because we're after somebody else. There was a Lille forward as well, a Lille midfielder linked as well. Sofiane Boufal, I think his name
is. I saw that, yeah.
He's a Moroccan international. 11 yellow cards. No, 12 goals, 11 yellow cards, 2 red cards last season. So when you bring in the red cards of Xhaka, and you bring in he's going full on cunt bag next season after this guy. So yeah, I mean, I do wonder. I think we're going to be after a striker and a wide player. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Anyway.
Yeah, because Draxler would fit that bill. I mean, looking at his figures from last season, he played most of his football either as a number 10 or from the left hand side. But he's also equally capable of playing on the right. And there was even a lot of talk, wasn't there, at one stage that Arsene felt he could succeed as a centre-forward. I don't know if that would ever come to pass, but that was certainly the way it was spun in the papers.
Redevelop him into a centre-forward a bit.
The old Van Persie trick.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a hugely talented player. He's got some amazing technical qualities. And maybe he does need to make a move to somebody who can help those develop. And Arsene Wenger is a good coach like that. So
he's good enough to start for Germany. You know, he's got to have something.
Yes. Unless, of course, you know, it's I don't know what I was going to say there. I've forgotten completely. Hang on. I'm just scratching there to make people think that you're scratching.
Great. Thank you.
That's okay.
I'm also scratching. I'm just doing it further from the mic.
Oh, good idea.
A body part that's further from the mic. my feet.
All right.
Now, it's over to you. It's your question.
It is. This one's from Adam Hayward, at Adam Hay. And it seems as if Mikel Arteta is going to be part of Pep Guardiola's coaching staff at Manchester City next season. So he says, with news of Arteta joining City, who in world football would you like to join the Arsenal coaching staff? Anyone you like, I guess.
Anyone I like? Wow. Obviously, it's tempting to go for former Arsenal players, isn't it? I mean, the one that always holds a special allure to me is Dennis Bergkamp.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
You know, just in terms of sort of culturally what he brought to the club in the mid-90s, I mean, what you feel he could bring back. He's such an iconic figure. I don't know a footballer who couldn't be improved by talking to Bergkamp, probably even still watching Bergkamp, one imagines, on the training ground. I imagine he'd be able to join in along with Robert Pires in the training sessions and not miss a beat. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there are disadvantages. He can't travel to certain away games. But if you want someone who's just on the training ground day in, day out, working with forward players, I can't visage anybody better.
Yeah, I'd love to see Dennis back. Obviously, he can't be a manager, he can't be an assistant manager if he can't travel to European games or even games like Norwich, which are really far away and we have to fly to.
Of course, it's the only possible way.
Yeah. So, but I mean, to have him back on the training ground in some capacity, that's the thing. I mean, you can go through all the great coaches and the great players in the world, but I think just to have somebody who knows Arsenal and what Arsenal means or should mean, you know, you're looking at the players who were part of that, let's say, 98 double winning side, or the 2002 double winning side, or the Invincibles. You know, players who've been there and done that and have made their mark on the club, to have them back would be fantastic. But it's something that Arsene Wenger doesn't necessarily seem to be interested in a big way. I mean, Thierry Henry is the only one to come back in any significant way, isn't he? I mean, I know Freddie's at the club at the moment. Freddie Ljungberg is coaching one of the underage teams, the under-15s maybe, something like that. Thierry Henry is back. But I mean, when you look at the way that Steve Bould came up through the ranks, you know, it wasn't like he was a former player who was brought back in to become part of the coaching staff or part of the first team staff straight away. I mean, he was years and years learning his trade with the underage teams. So I don't know. I mean, it would be a huge shift for Arsene Wenger to bring somebody. You know who I would like, actually? Here's what I'd like. If we're, you know, we're going to throw it right out there, and we spoke about him a bit earlier on, I would like Jens Lehmann to be our goalkeeping coach.
I was about to say exactly that. First of all, he's just a phenomenal character, and I imagine he'd be a highly motivational coach for a multitude of reasons. But also, the goalkeeping area is one that's been a bit problematic, hasn't it, in terms of the coaching potentially. There have been a few whispers about a bit of discontent from some of the players.
Sure.
He would be superb. And as far as I'm aware, he's fully qualified as a coach. I'm not sure if he sees himself as perhaps more than a goalkeeping coach, if he wants to go into management or something like that. But he's someone who I think it would be fantastic to have around the club formally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he did it through Wales, the same way that Arteta did. I mean, a lot of the players seem to be doing their coaching badges through the Welsh FA or the Welsh setup. I'm not quite sure why. Do they have a fast track on it or something? I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't imagine. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think people go to Ireland as well. I think maybe it's quicker to get through. I think you might be right. But not sure. Not sure. But it's certainly the case that it's happening.
All right. And if you had to have like one who wasn't an Arsenal player or an ex-Arsenal player, anybody from the world of football? It's like anybody from the world of football.
Wow. Do you know what? I nearly said something extremely controversial.
Oh, my goodness.
I really nearly did. I nearly said, only because I found his interviews of late so entertaining, I nearly said Roy Keane. I just think sometimes, by the way, when I watch Arsenal play, that they would benefit from someone talking to them in that straightforward manner.
I think it would just end up with a load of players weeping in the corner, terrified, because this is so not what they're used to. You know, Arsene Wenger hates confrontation. Roy Keane thrives on confrontation. You could say perhaps that, like, that yin and yang might be a heady combination of qualities, but I suspect probably not.
I can't see that happening.
Yeah.
Who else from the world of football? Well, I do think that, you know, that's what Lehmann has as well, that kind of steely, forthright manner. That's what I think I'd want to bring in. I'm just trying to think of people who characterise that. Or,
well, I guess there's only one other person you could think of from the world of football itself who could come in and really make a difference to the way that Arsenal play, the mindset, the mentality, the mental strength, all those qualities and characteristics that Arsene Wenger talks about all the time. And Richard Keys. Yeah.
I think Richard Keys, and then if we can get Sherwood in alongside him, can you imagine? I think Richard Keys is basically, it's funny, whenever we talk about the success to Arsene Wenger, Keys is a name that never comes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's too obvious. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why.
But Keys and Andy Gray is a kind of double management pairing. not Danny Murphy or Robbie Savage, certainly. I've not been impressed with the level of punditry.
No, neither have I.
With the exception of Slaven Bilic.
I haven't really been watching because I don't get ITV.
You don't get the same as us, do you?
No, we do, but I don't know how to get ITV on my Skybox. Nor you used to be able to add it as other channels. In Ireland, we don't get ITV as default. And then we used to get UTV, which is the Ulster version of ITV. We used to get that, no problem. But UTV was bought out by I don't know, they bought it. They launched their very own Irish-specific version of it, so we don't get like the ITV network stuff here anymore. So if anyone knows how I can get that on my Skybox, please let me know. So I haven't really seen anything that's gone on ITV at all. I thought, actually, Savage was quite good during the England-Wales game. It was Savage and Martin Keown, and they were both completely partisan, which I really liked. Oh, no, total dive. Look, he's dived.
I enjoyed that, where they completely disagreed with each other. And to be fair, I watched that game with my brother, and I've been a bit guilty there of jumping on the anti-Savage bandwagon, which, to be fair, is quite a valid bandwagon.
It's an enormous bandwagon. It's huge.
Yes, it's not really a bandwagon, is it? It's more just the world that we live in.
Yeah, it's an enormous container ship.
Yeah, but he was all right in that game. But Slaven Bilic has been great. And Ian Wright, I do enjoy Ian Wright as well. I think he's matured into a fine pundit.
Let me ask you this. Why is Thierry Henry significantly better on the BBC than he is on Sky?
That is a good question. And I can only think maybe because he's sort of not the senior man on Sky. Maybe because he's got Carragher and company and Souness around him. Maybe that's inhibiting in some way.
Well, I don't know. He's not the senior man. Oh, you mean on BBC? I don't think he's a senior.
No, hang on a second. Do you mean he's better on BBC?
Yeah.
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 So I'm saying, do you think...
Like Miles better?
I don't know then. Maybe is it the quality of the anchor?
But they've got, the anchors on Sky are good. They've David Jones and Ed Chamberlain. Oh, no, he's left. Ed Chamberlain has left. He's gone to ITV, yeah. So they'll need a new anchor. Hey, I could do that. That'd be great.
That would be good. You'd be great. Could I sit in the back and chip in?
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect. Sure. I'll just be sat at the back there scratching away.
Whenever there's a bad game, we can just talk about, James, what happened to you today? Oh, well, I was just walking down the road and a tractor fell out of the sky and crushed both my legs. And then while I was lying there screaming in agony, a dog came along and ate my Mickey.
That would be, I think that would raise the level of football coverage significantly. If anyone out there is listening from the BBC or Sky, we can bring even more out of Thierry Henry.
Yeah, we'll get the absolute best out of him, but he is better on BBC than he is on ITV. So
interesting.
I don't quite know why that is, but there you go.
It's like Jamie Vardy at Leicester. He just feels at home there.
Yeah, maybe so.
So let's have a question. This is a silly question.
Oh, no.
But I think we'll have a discussion about the context of it afterwards. I mean, I'm giving too much away. So it comes from Codchops at Codchops81. And they ask, with all this talk of Vardy and the need for a world-class striker, has everybody forgotten that we have Sonogo on loan at Charlton? # the new Henry. Now, bless Yaya. But I did raise this question mainly because I wanted to know what you think will become of him in this summer.
I think what will become of him?
He's going to be 24 next season, I've realised.
Well,
I mean, you're stumped, aren't you, with the IR?
There are times I wonder if it's like a piece of performance art that I don't quite understand. You know? I mean, I remember that day of the FA Cup final. I remember it well because, it just wasn't going our way and we brought him on and everybody...
It was a bit like going to see Stomp in concert, wasn't it? Just clanging around.
Yeah.
Just smashing into stuff.
And he made a difference on the day. I mean, from a football... I think did he win the corner from which Koscielny scored? And just generally speaking, he put himself about in such a way that nobody had any idea what to do with him. My feeling on it is that he was like a cheap punt that Arsene Wenger, and I said punt, just decided to take a risk on, the way he has done throughout his Arsenal career. He's brought in these 400, 500,000 pound players or free transfer players that if they do something, if they somehow manage to kick on, well, then all of a sudden it looks like a great thing. And if they don't, it's like, well, what the fuck is that guy all about? And we've seen a few of those down the years. I think with Sonogo, I don't know. I don't quite see what Arsene Wenger saw. I'm not sure exactly what it was. I don't I don't think he's as bad as people say, but I don't think he's like any business being anywhere near the Arsenal first team. And I think what he did more than anything was highlight the paucity of options available to us over a couple of seasons. That if we didn't have Giroud, we had Sinogo. And that was more an indictment of Arsene Wenger's squad building than Yaya Sinogo himself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was a ludicrous state of affairs.
What I think might happen to him this summer, he'll score 7 goals in the Emirates Cup again. Oh, there's no Emirates Cup, is there? No.
Yeah, so it's really tough times.
So he's gonna score 8 goals against the MLS All-Stars in America, and everyone will go, that's it, we found him. And then ultimately he won't be anywhere near the first team. I think he's going to have to leave probably. He should go somewhere else and play some regular football somewhere. I mean, he did okay at Charlton. He got a hat-trick in one game, and you know, maybe that's kind of his level. I don't see him necessarily doing a Coquelin and coming back and all of a sudden staking his claim as the team's number one striker. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to... I think he'll go down in the sort of... with the Amari Bischoffs of this world, won't he?
Yeah, yeah. A little bit like that, the Stefan Maltz kind of signing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose a bit like Bischoff in the way. Promising player with big injury problems early in his career. I think the manager felt if he could get him fit, then there was a player in there. But the truth is, Sinogo's really struggled with injuries, even since he's come to Arsenal as well.
Mm.
And hasn't developed sufficiently. And I think we'd probably struggle to sell him now, but I imagine a loan spell, another loan season, maybe a permanent deal at the end of that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows how long he's got left on his contract? Unclear, but I think his days as a part of the first team squad.
This must be his last year. When did he join? He must have joined in 2013,
feels like forever,
was it?
Doesn't it?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, Sinogo.
Let's have a go. Well, he joined at the end of his contract with Auxerre. And that was in 2013.
Right. So
3 years. So he could have 2 more years left.
I doubt we gave him a 5-year deal. No way.
Do you think?
No. Well, I'd be very surprised. I'd say he's probably in the last year of his contract. Actually, let's have a look at transfermarkt.de. And they usually give your contract length. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum. Contract until, June 2017. So he's in the final year of his contract. So, you know, I'd say we'd be prepared to let him go.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the memories, Yaya.
It's been fun.
Been a bumpy old ride.
All right. Here's one from Jonathan Houseman, at Johnny Houseman. And he says, have you any concerns about Arsene Wenger's comments about signing 3 players maximum? Is it a hint he hasn't learned any lessons from last year?
Say that again, sorry. Right. Sorry, I've completely not heard that properly.
Okay, so I think there were some quotes from Arsene Wenger saying that he'd be signing 3 players maximum.
Oh, yes, I saw that, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So any concerns that he hasn't learned his... Has he not learned his lesson?
I don't know. I mean, he said that before the end of the season as well, that ideally you want to bring in about 3 players. You know, that's a good balance between refreshing the squad and stability. The issue is how many players he might lose, isn't it? Like, if several players leave, he's going to have to refine that number. I remember you saying that you consider, when he says that, you think he means if nobody leaves,
yeah,
then it'll be 3 more. Because I think, you know, let's say someone like a Kieran Gibbs goes, then you've got to replace him, and then that number probably has to go up to 4. So I think, 3... And 3, that includes Xhaka, doesn't it?
Yeah, could do.
I mean, 3 would be a good number, but I'm not sure. I think we'll end up having to do more like 5.
Yeah, I think I said that a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. I would like 5. I don't mean 5 £50 million players, but I think we need 5 players.
Hmm. Well, I mean,
do you have concerns?
I have some concerns, but I think it's very unlikely that he would come out and say 5 players anyway.
Mm.
I think he... I hope he means what you think he means, that it's 3 plus any potential replacements. I mean, Shaka's one, a centre-forward's definitely another.
Yeah.
I would personally quite like a centre-half.
Yeah.
Personally.
I believe, I do wonder if there's stuff bubbling under, because I think the Bolton guy, I think we're after him.
Right.
What's
but is
name?
That a signing for the first team or?
Maybe. I guess. Who else?
I don't know.
I mean, well, 20 sounds young, you know, but 20's not young necessarily these days when it comes to
I guess it's just a big leap, isn't it, for a player from the bottom of the Championship to the Champions League.
Yeah.
But he can play at fullback as well, I believe, Rob Holding.
Yeah.
Don't know if that would be a factor. Yeah, I don't know. I think that three would be... I think we'll need more than three. And I think Arsene must know that. He must know that, especially if players go.
Yes. I guess it depends
who's
going to go.
It's always alarming. Hmm. Always alarming to hear that from him.
Yeah. I agree. Just get them in. Spend the money. Get them in. Stop worrying about stuff and things.
They have tried, it appears. They have tried. So.
Yeah. Not hard enough, though.
Not hard enough.
Try harder. Hardy. All right. Have you got another one?
I can find one. Hang on. Give it a second.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay. This one is just not about football at all.
Okay.
This is from The Lonious West, and they ask, would you rather have shoes on 24/7 or bare feet 24/7? It's got to be shoes.
It depends where you live.
Right, explain that.
Right, well, let's say I live on a beach and a nice hut on the beach, and the sand is warm. It's a warm climate. I can walk in my bare feet the whole time. I mean, what happens when you go for a shower?
It doesn't say, well,
24/7 means 24/7.
But is it one pair of shoes? Or can you like pop your flip-flops on to go in the shower?
They're not, flip-flops are not shoes. Flip-flops are flip-flops.
Flip-flops are not shoes?
No. How can
this
flip-flops be shoes?
Stuff.
Come on.
Right, well, I would categorize it. So are we? Do you think it's one pair of shoes that never comes
I
off?
I think he's talking about shoes. I think he's talking about a pair of George Webbs or something. Just, you know, shoes. We're not talking footwear.
Not even like, trainers.
No,
shoes.
Trainers are not shoes. Trainers are trainers. Flip-flops are flip-flops. Sandals are sandals.
Have you ever tried to sleep in your shoes?
I have, from time to time, fallen asleep in my shoes.
Are there any consequences? Is it uncomfortable?
Well, no, because I'm too drunk to notice.
You're comatose, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be shoes all the time.
No.
There are two.
No.
No?
No. Bare feet for me.
What? But you don't live by it. But you don't live on the beach.
Yeah, but this could prompt my move there. I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to live like on the beach. I could have a hammock. I could read. I could do things, and I could just walk. And after a while, the soles of your feet become hard and scabbed, and they're basically like wearing shoes.
Well, this is interesting. I would definitely go. Yeah, I'm going shoes. I have to walk around the streets of London.
Yeah.
I like the beach, but if I move to the beach, I'll get like bitten by the midges again or killed by a tidal wave.
Or a land shark.
I'll stay in safe London where I got held up at gunpoint the other day.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, shoes. No, I just couldn't wear shoes all the time. It would just, trying to go to sleep with shoes on. I mean, it would be so annoying taking your pants off over your shoes every single time. You'd have
that
to wear
definitely
like...
definitely would be annoying.
That would wreck my head. So I'd rather... So you would not be able to go to cold places. You wouldn't be able to visit places in winter.
Oh my God, on the stag, I was chatting to a friend of mine and he said he gets dressed from the feet up.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? And he was like, well, sometimes I put my socks and my shoes on first before anything else.
Before even his underpants?
Yes.
What?
Before his trousers.
Well, yeah. But
how is he getting the trousers over the shoes?
Well, he certainly can't be like a skinny jean wearing like rock and roller, can he?
I mean, I just have this picture of this man just walking around in just shoes and socks.
No, that's not right.
You don't see that often.
No, I mean,
Scottish naked, they call that.
Scottish naked. I mean, look, it's surely the obvious way, like when you have a shower and then you is like put underwear on first, right? You put your underpants on and then you...
That would be the first thing for me.
So then, but when, after that...
And what would be your second thing? I think mine is socks next.
No, pants for me. Pants.
Hang on. Pants like trousers?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't,
or jeans, or you know,
right, yeah, right, okay,
slacks,
okay, okay,
whatever you
really?
Want to call them, yeah, whatever I'm wearing, yeah, and then socks,
a t-shirt, oh, then socks,
yeah,
oh, you're all over the place. What's going on?
And then a t-shirt or a shirt or whatever, yeah.
I think I go underwear,
yeah,
socks, t-shirt, jeans or trousers,
right.
And then shoes of some kind.
Right.
Guys, different strokes for different folks.
It sure is.
And people thought that we wouldn't know what to chat about in the summer. The haters.
Exactly.
The haters. But here we are.
Here we are.
Solving all these problems.
Final question for you.
Go on.
All right. This comes from JJ at @E_click_tick. He wants to know, would you rather die bursting like an Adidas football or shredded to pieces like a Puma shirt?
I mean, one of the two will almost certainly... both may happen to me in the next year.
Year? You're fucking... It's going to be like next week.
I think bursting feels... shredded to pieces sounds very painful.
Mm.
Bursting sounds like, bang, at least it's gone. But I guess the swelling up before the bursting is the...
Yeah.
But the football doesn't get bigger before it bursts. It just bursts.
Just burst, yeah.
So if I just burst, that would be all right.
Yeah, I could deal with the bursting, not the shredding.
I don't think you'd know much about the bursting. The shredding, you'd be like, oh, God, there goes another bit.
Fuck. Like, well, yeah, like being flayed, essentially. That's what that is.
Yeah. No, I'm not I'm going to shock you, Andrew. I'm not interested in having that done to me. So...
Wow, okay.
I choose to be burst.
I think
honestly, pump me up and watch me go bang.
Yeah, I think that's the right way. Like a dodgy Adidas football and not a dodgy Puma shirt.
What a waste of go.
They still didn't send us our football shirts, Puma. Still didn't
Come
send
on,
That's
guys.
What it was. We were trying to get them to send us shirts. They must have been listening and thought, no, if these guys get their hands on those shirts, they're going to tear them to pieces. We'll be ruined.
Alive.
We'll be ruined before someone can pull it off Jacka's back at Euro 2016.
Look, everyone's talking about those Puma shirts, so
yeah.
Puma are the real winners here.
Yes. Yeah.
Someplace, somewhere, there's a big cat laughing to itself.
There's no such publicity as bad publicity, apparently.
Apparently. It's not really true, but people say it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. All right. Well, look, I will leave you to itch
to
your
rehydrate.
Various bits. Yes, rehydrate first.
And scratch.
Yes. Cover yourself in lotion.
Oh, I will. And I'll probably pick the wrong one and burn myself alive or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm like.
Yeah. Actually, if you went out to get lotion, you'd end up in this weird guy's like underground cave. And he would tell you, puts the lotion on its skin. But at least if you didn't do that, you would get the hose again, which would mean that you are rehydrated. So if you're out there, Buffalo Bill, check out James, North London. He's looking for your talents.
We'll do, yeah, and I'll keep an eye out for him too.
Yeah, you do that. All right, we'll catch you on the next Arscast Extra. Until then, have a good week. Enjoy the Euros.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.